Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. Every Tuesday, we do the Think Tank. We have Mike Elam and Alvin Reed with us today. Mike, you have a shout-out?
Yeah, just wanted to say hello to Kevin Moran. Kevin's a St. Louis City cop, has been for, I think, 28 years.
Damn.
And big DGS fan, so he gets it.
Very nice. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Thanks for your service. Any shout-outs there at Donnie Bash?
Oh, to everybody who came to Donnie Bash. It was a spectacular and marvelous time. And
heard we got a shout-out from the
stage. He did. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it was a good time, and this is the first time I've been on since then. And,
yeah.
Hey, hope you enjoyed it.
Good deal,
man. It was
man.
So fun.
All right.
Let's start here. So this morning, I was driving around. I was listening to Total Information AM, and a gentleman named Chester Asher, who is the founder of Coalition for STL Kids, was on, and he gave some statistics, which almost made me run off the road. He said that in the city of St. Louis, kids who are reading at their level that they should be.
Yeah.
65% of white kids are reading at the appropriate level. Only 65%, barely over half, 13% of African-American kids.
Yeah.
And his point was that he is an educator and an activist. He said, no one cares. He said, I'm persona non grata. I'm not even allowed to go to some school board meetings. And his point was people, like I've told them, 13%. You want to talk about school to prison? You want to talk about this pipeline? Let's talk about 13%. Let's try to get it to 20. How about 20? And just deaf ears.
Well, okay. Both St. Louis Public Schools, NAACP, two other organizations have started literacy campaigns. Now, I guess he's aware of those, but they literally began about 2 to 3 months ago, and they're all out initiatives to raise those very numbers. Now, I didn't hear the interview, so I don't know that he mentioned it or not, but they are actual efforts to improve those numbers all the way around the board. And by the way, it ain't all that high throughout the county either. I mean, I don't want to say that 95% of us were at a proficiency rate when I was like in elementary school, but 95% of us were at a proficiency rate when I was in high school. Or in elementary school, mm-hmm. which would have been, you know, the late 1960s and into the early 70s. So, but there are efforts to combat this problem, and they have been launched. So,
I mean, overly simple question, but what happened?
Now, that one, I don't know. I don't know. And I know that we're supposed to know.
I'm
being honest with you. I don't know. Now, part of it is, and I think, you know, having kids that have now, you know, graduated from college and all that, there's a certain time, you know, in your life where they're going to school and they're doing great, but I wasn't aware of what was kind of going on around them. And, you know, like I said, this is Kirkwood Schools, mm-hmm. this is not City, or this is not North County, but I don't know where that reading level fell off. I mean, reading and reading comprehension, especially reading comprehension, if you can do that, you truly can do anything.
Do you think we can all agree, though, the last people to blame are the kids?
Right.
Because the kids today are no different than kids in the 60s or the 70s. Brains haven't evolved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's parents and teachers primarily who are either doing a good job or a bad job.
I think the focus got off of this. I mean, I remember when I was a kid. I mean, I'll be 58 tomorrow. But I remember when I was a kid, they had PSAs, you know, RIF, reading is fundamental.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember we used to have such a big deal when we had the Scholastic Book Fair,
yeah.
and you would get to order books when you were a kid. And it was so exciting when you got to get these little books. And my parents probably hated it, but I thought it was wonderful. You don't have that same push for, and I'm not talking about the easy answers. Everybody's going to say COVID. And COVID really took what was bad and really put a big, bright spotlight on it. But this predates COVID, I would guess, by a decade. When you started seeing us introduce devices all the time, and I'm not here to bang on technology, but it changed the way that we would spend our time. I mean, when you were bored when you were younger, you would play outside or read a book. Right. That's kind of all you had. Now you don't do that. So you read in characters. Right. You have a short burst of what you read through. You don't sit down and develop stories and read through stories like you used to. And we just don't push it like we used to before.
You know, whatever it is, the standards have obviously fallen. But the standards because, you know, we're all around the same age, the three of us. You had no choice whether to learn to read. Now, there were some kids who could read better than other kids. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. But you had no choice about whether you learned to read. It just your teachers gave you no choice. Your parents gave you no choice. So obviously now there's some choice.
Well, there was a choice, but also I think that there was this realization that you're going nowhere if you can't read. Now, that I don't care what you want to be. But if you can't read, and you can't read pretty well, whatever your dreams are, you're not going to fulfill them. And I think the young people today think, I don't know what it is, entertainment industry.
Be an influencer.
Social influencer. Right. I don't have to know anything to be a success. I could be like the people on reality shows, and my claim to fame is fame. And that's few and far between, just like people told, like, you know, yeah, you may want to be a National Football League player, but you might want to have a plan B because that probably you got a better chance of getting struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And I think kids, via their parents, lost track of the fact that you're not going to go anywhere if you can't read.
But I think you have two issues here. So you look at, okay, why are the white kids at 65 and the black kids are at 13? Right. And I think that speaks to the part of a shortage of teachers, but B, making sure the kids are in school. So you have a truancy problem that you didn't used to have as much of, but it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't care how good your teachers are. If the kids doesn't have a butts in seats, they're not going to learn.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where you have the disparity is you have an awful lot of kids, especially in city schools, that just don't go. And you see it happen in their reimbursement rates because you're going to get that school is going to get reimbursed based on attendance. And when you look at attendance policies, you have some schools that have an attendance policy of an average daily attendance of 70% or less. That means 30% of those kids or more aren't even there. Well, I don't care how great your teachers are at that point, what your curriculum plan is. If a kid's not there, they are not going to learn. That is a parent thing.
Right. And that's a lot of families are forced to move. And they move around a lot. And that's part of it because now I'm at a new school, but we got to get there and we got to get transportation and on and on and on. None of these are excuses. I mean, the kid has to be in school and he has to be or he, she has to be in school regularly. And you're right. You're not going to learn if you're just missing days after days after days. All of us have proven that when we were in college.
Yeah. Yes.
You might. Yeah. The more you go to class, the better you'll do. Funny how that worked out.
That's a great analogy.
This was third graders that they were studying, right?
Yes. But right. It's third grade is like the line of.
Right. So they're not at the point yet where they're thinking, I'm not going to need to read. They're just third graders. I mean, like, to me, it starts.
Or I think I don't want to go to school today.
Right. But I would love to see, number one, two things tracked at the same time. Mm-hmm. How this reading proficiency has gone and how has that area where each kid is, doesn't matter whether they're white kids, African-Americans, but what the economic situation has been over that same period of time, and match those two graphs together and see.
I get that, but at the same time, no, there was a fear of being a failure when I was in third grade. That was put upon us, that you aren't going anywhere, especially black kids. They're like, hey, look, I don't care what's going on, all right? You have to succeed at a couple of things. One is reading, okay? And then one is staying out of trouble. If you do those two things.
If you can read and stay out of trouble.
If you can read and stay out of trouble, the world kind of is your oyster.
Were you treated differently? Did you perceive you were treated differently back when we were in school?
Well, I mean, from the time, you know, like you enter school and all that, you know, whether you're in Kirkwood or wherever you're at, you know that some people treat you differently, some people treat you the same, but that didn't have anything to do with anything when we were growing up. It said, like, listen, nobody can stop you from being what you want to be except yourself. And we acknowledge that. You know, like I said, people today, you know, regardless of race, think they had it more difficult than the generation that came before them. And I think these are the first generation that ever thought that. And I said, now you talk about nonsense. I mean, wait a minute. My grandparents had it rougher than I did, okay? And my parents had it rougher than, you know, I did. And I had it a little rougher than my kids did, okay? That's just a reality. But there's just something now where it's said like, oh, no, there's a woe is me, and there's a nobody has it as hard as us, and what is the generation
right,
now?
But not the third graders, right? Not the people we're talking about, but their parents.
The third graders, I definitely think, goes back to the whole COVID thing. Because if you think about when did they hit, when did COVID hit for these kids, it's kindergarten, first grade. So in some
perfect
cases.
Perfect timing, yeah.
Yeah, in some cases.
But I would also like to see, like, what were the numbers before COVID? Were they going down? Were they staying level?
I think they were going down.
That's what I mean. So this may have been an accelerant, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Because if you think about it, 2019, 2020, when the COVID stuff was happening, city schools in particular shut down for an entire year. So you had kids, if you go back and roll into that, those are your third graders, who missed an entire year of sounding everything out. Now you're back to, okay, during that year, did you have a parent at home or an older sibling or somebody who was working with you to stay on track? And I would guess by the numbers, the answer by and large is no. And that is a foundation that if we keep passing them along, then you're kind of playing, for lack of a better term, and forgive the analogy, but kind of pass the trash, right? I got you through this year. I'm going to pass you on to the next teacher, and you become their problem from that point on.
Yeah.
And third grade is really that turning point grade where you really start figuring it out. You know, kindergarten, first and second, you can get through because a lot of times you're getting one, twos, and threes instead of A, Bs, and Cs. So when you get to third grade, for most schools, is when they transfer over, and now they give you letter grade instead of number grades.
If you guys would like to join the conversation, you can do so. 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. Welcome back, guys. DGS 422 Think Tank with Mike Elam and Alvin Reed talking about a new study that shows that St. Louis school system third graders, 65% of white kids are reading at their appropriate grade level, 13% of African-American kids, and we're kind of kicking around how, why, what does this lead to? A lot of people calling in, 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. Let's talk to Amy on line two. Amy, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Thank you very much.
Okay, so my daughter's a teacher in Alabama, and this year the Alabama Literacy Project is full force. Like, they've been sort of rolling it out, but this year they're going to actually enforce it. And one of the statistics, this is a nationwide statistic, but that if you cannot read at the third grade level when you're in the third grade, there's two-thirds of those kids will end up incarcerated. And there is it's three times that a black child for a white child.
It's fascinating because, and I'm trying to think of when you think about what else, how are these things tied together, right? Because it's not simply the reading level in third grade, but I think it may be an indicator of what we talked about earlier. Like, where are you? What's the economic circumstance of where you're living? Because I don't think you're going to have these literacy rates like this in areas where there's lots of money. Right? We don't find it anywhere. So you're going to find it in areas that are already poor, which are already, that's already a connector to leading to going to jail, leading to getting involved in things.
Speaking of, I think it was last week we had Judge Frawley and Rainford on together. And Rainford said something that along those lines. Never mind. I'm losing my train of thought. I'm gonna make a bad point I don't want to make. I have it in my head, but yeah. I don't want to say something that you just had right there.
It's like right in midstream.
I was about to fake it, and then I thought, if I put words in Rainford's mouth and he ends up getting fired or something.
Right.
Let's talk to Billy on line three.
He would call you.
Billy
trust
is
me.
A teacher. Yes, he would. Billy, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling in to try to help out with the ideas of why maybe the reading levels are where they're at. And I was just saying that I'm a teacher at a larger school district in the area, and we've moved to giving 50% of the grade away, for example. Very difficult whenever a kiddo starts at 50%, and then at that point, they can miss so many assignments. They can miss so many assessments. Come in, take an assessment that's worth 75% of their grade, and nobody knows, including parents, don't know the difference between the fact that the kiddo has a B minus but missed just a ton of work. We're sending them off like that. We are now making feelings being the biggest part of the school education experience, and we're turning over a lot of disciplinary and different things to our counseling offices, and it's just changed a lot, and a lot of the tools that teachers have, including the grade book, has really been taken away. So it's tough to say that, you know, teachers are on the wrong side of it, but it's just the way the game is played now. It kind of stinks because we see it and we hate it, and we want to see things, you know, we want to be able to help those kiddos, but it's kind of tough when the system's kind of changing in a way that makes it difficult for us to do that.
Thank you, Billy. Yeah, appreciate
that's a really
it.
Interesting point, like the idea of like social promotion in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So when you really should redo a year, well, you don't want to single people out. You don't want to make them feel bad. You don't want that. You know, you don't want the social implications to go along with being the kid that got held back or the kids.
You know,
but maybe that's what we needed after COVID was people to repeat a year.
No, especially after that. But now I've read that the percentage of people that were held back now is about the same as the percentage that were held back when we were kids.
Really?
But maybe more kids need to be held back. Right. Now I'm not arguing that.
I remember what Rainford said. Now, he was talking about when he was kind of running St. Louis with Fran, that I didn't realize how very poor St. Louis is.
Right.
Now, there are some rich people who live in St. Louis. There's some affluent areas. But overall, he said, we never had any extra money. They don't have any extra money now. We're sitting on these piles of money from the Rams and the Feds and things like that. But it really made an impression on me. I didn't realize just how poor of a town we live in. It's St. Louis proper.
Well, especially in the city itself, like you're saying, there. You see that, and you continue to see people leave. I mean, like we've talked about before, St. Louis City itself is at the lowest population it's been since 1870, which is unbelievable, right? Yeah. I mean, we used to be a city of over 800,000. We're at 265 now and going in the opposite direction. But I think kind of what Kevin was leading to there and what the caller was talking about with teachers, we're becoming a society where accountability is something that we want to take out of vernacular. We do not want to be accountable for things.
It's uncomfortable.
It is. But what we're doing is setting up a society that is going to pay for it down the road. I mean, you're talking about your daughter being in college and she's having a great time. And I had a wonderful time when I was in college at her age, which is why I didn't actually get a diploma until I was 50, because I was on the 32-year degree plan, right? I had a really good time with the college experience minus learning. The fraternity was fun for me. But I think that's part of what we've seen, where we're going through the experience of education, but we're not actually being accountable for results, and we're not preparing our kids for what they're going to have to face. And eventually, that is something that we're all going to pay a price for. Yeah. We've got to figure out, how are we going to get back to being accountable to true standards?
Yeah.
You can't dumb it down and get them through, because eventually, as society, we're going to pay for dumbing it down.
Well, I think we're already paying that price. I mean, but
it's going to get a lot worse.
This is kind of sad what passes for knowledge right now.
Agreed.
And
thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
All right.